If you have a Bible, we're going to be looking in the book of Hebrews. And for all the ladies, it's Hebrews. And so we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 19 through 20. And so we are in a series that we've been in for the last few weeks called It Is Well. The focus of this series has been the health and the well-being of our souls. Often overlooked, often neglected, often forgot about is the inside, the inner workings of our soul. So the Bible kind of puts it this way, all that is within us, all that is within you, that is what your soul is. It's your heart, your spirit, your mind, your will, your emotions. It's the inner, invisible, but very substantial aspect, dimension of who you are. It's the internal and eternal part of you. So it's where faith resides. It's where hope resides. It's where all these beautiful things happen on the inside of us. And so this is a verse that I was excited about talking about, or these verses, and I was saving it for this day specifically through this whole series. And so I'm excited about diving in. So this is what it says. Hebrews 6, verses 19 and 20. The author says this, this hope that we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one that enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Did you know that your soul needs an anchor? Were you aware of that? I've never thought of it in those terms. In fact, it was only recently, a couple years ago, that I was reading these verses that I was like, I guess my soul needs an anchor. That's the whole conversation here. It's like your soul has an anchor. I didn't really think about my soul needing an anchor. Now, an anchor is, I think we probably have a working understanding of what an anchor does. So an anchor is what provides stability and some amount of safety and consistency from a boat drifting away. So it provides stability to something that otherwise wouldn't be. I mean, you're subject to the winds, the wave, and there would be no stability but for the fact here is this anchor. With that in mind, does your soul need an anchor? If you think about it, our souls are subject to the winds and the waves of this chaotic, intense world. And so our souls tend to drift. So could you use some steadiness for your soul? Would that be of use to you? Our souls, like I said, encompass our mind and our emotions. And to be honest with you, and this is appropriate because I can hear a train coming, my soul tends to, pretty much every single day of my life, pack all my emotional baggage up, and I tend to jump on a million different trains of thought all the time. My brain is going, it's like Grand Central. I mean, trains of thought are leaving every 5 minutes. And so I'm over here, I'm over there. That's it. It's coming to get my brain. So my emotions, I am a pretty emotional creature, if I'm honest with you. And I know some of you guys are going to be very surprised because you see me as being very stoic and very serious. But I'm an emotional person. I can't watch the show The Voice anymore. The show The Voice, I can't watch it with my wife because I'm embarrassed. Because I cry. And I look over and she's stone-faced. Just cold-hearted. I'm like, what happened to you, woman? Why can't you feel these feelings? No, I'm kidding. So we're both usually tearing up at the same time. And shows like that, I'm like, okay, the singing's fine, but you hear the story, and they start playing the sad music, and you're like, oh no, here we go, this is it. I'm gonna bawl like a baby. So what happened to who? Why do I need to feel sorry for them? And so, there it is, the train of thought that my brain is on. I'm pensive. I overprocess. I overanalyze. My brain doesn't stop. There's a hamster wheel in my brain, and the hamster, his little bottle has Red Bull in it. That's what he's drinking all the time. And so it is nonstop. So my thoughts are loud. My emotions are loud. Have you ever thought this? Have you ever been in this place where you're like, this person that I know, it's like the Polar Express. We can see the train. You can stop. Yep, we got it. There you go. All right, so have you ever had this thought, like, this person that I work with, this person that I'm friends with, this person in my family, this person I go to school with, is mad at me, and they hate me, and I hurt their feelings, and they resent me, and now I'm on the outs. And you create this whole, like, movie in your brain, and you're like, going through the dialogue in your head, and their thoughts and their perspective. And you go through this whole thing, and then you flinch because you're like, I guess the relationship's over, and I'm on the outs, and I don't know how to fix this. And then you see them again, and they're like, hey! You're like, don't you hate my guts? And all that was fictional. You've created this other alternate universe in your brain. I do that all the time. People hate me all the time in my head. Now, some do. But I'm saying, like, everybody is mad at me. Everybody's offended by me. Everybody hates me. It's these vain imaginations. And the reason is because my soul drifts. It just goes places. And just because I think it, just because I feel it, doesn't make it true. If you hear nothing else, words of wisdom, just because we think it, just because we feel it, doesn't make it true. We're bombarded by problems and issues and circumstances and challenges, and the winds and the waves of life will continually cause uneasiness and instability within us. It's a constant. Our confidence, our identity, our peace, our joy, our faith, our security, all tend to be consistently inconsistent because it's like we can't quite get a bead. We can't get it fixed. It's always one day you're my God, why have you forsaken me? Another day is, God, you're making me lie down in green pastures. And it's like we're all over the map. You can have faith one day and none the next. You can have confidence one day and zero the next. You can feel joy in a moment, and then 10 minutes later, you're fixated on something to worry about, and the joy is just gone. Peace. Man, it's like we can almost touch peace every once in a while, and then it takes off. What we need is an anchor for our soul. That's what all that means. We need an anchor. Our soul needs an anchor. A constant, something that is unmoving and unshifting and unchanging, something to tether our souls to that won't move. I'm a big fan of T.S. Eliot. I love reading his poetry, and I've got several of his just books. And one is The Four Quartets, is a collection of these four poems that are just fantastic. And within one of them, he uses this phrase that's always stayed with me. He talks about a still point, S-T-I-L-L, still point in a turning world. So is this one thing that doesn't move when everything else does. That's what's being talked about here. That's what our soul needs. something that is not a moving target, something that will not shift and change and leave and move, and something that's not a variable when everything else in life is. Now, everyone feels this drift. Everybody feels this insecurity on the inside. Everyone, believer, unbeliever, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your background. Nothing changes the fact that we all feel this. Everyone feels unsteady soul syndrome. We all do. It's like shakiness. It's like you're at the airport and you're on the tram to go to the next gate, and you're not ready for it to take off, and it does, and you kind of do one of these moves. And that's how our souls feel, just unsteady. And so everybody tries to tether their soul to something to make it steady. We all do it. A lot of times, it's another person. You've heard the phrase soul tie, to create a soul tie. What that is one human being who's trying to tether their soul to another human being to try to make them themselves feel more stable, to try to answer the variables, to try to answer the uneasiness. The problem with that strategy is that their souls drift too. That you need something that doesn't move. You can tether your souls to a dream, to a goal, but you realize dreams move. Goals move. The goalposts are always moving. I told this story a million times, but when I was in my teens, I was writing myself a dream list, a checkboxes of things that I wanted to achieve and accomplish. And I thought, if I could just do this, then I've created the life for myself that's it. That's the dream. And it's just coasting. It's just cruise control from there on. Well, I barely made it out of my 20s before I checked all the boxes. And you know what? I didn't finish that day. The dreams changed. They got bigger. There's more beyond that. That's how it's always going to be. The thing that you're looking at, fixated on, like, if I could just blank, then I'd finally feel the way that I want to feel. You're going to achieve that. You're going to reach that. Or maybe you won't. I don't know. But either way, there's more road beyond that. There's more. That's not enough. It never is. Our souls crave something that is eternal. It's the way that we're designed. We're built, we're designed to crave forever, eternal. Perfection is never enough. It is never, ever enough. Addiction is a huge part of trying to medicate a wandering soul in our own strength. And addiction happens because you realize it never ends. You got to keep going. It's escapism. It's medication. Tylenol can make the pain go away for a minute, but it can't take away the problem, the source. Our wandering, drifting soul. We need an anchor. We need something that is steadfast, that is sure, that is unmoving. Unfortunately, we keep looking for that answer in things that we can see, in things that we can hold accountable and touch and smell and grasp and hold on to and accomplish. And we can see, because it's very difficult to trust something that we can't see. So we try to make the answer something that we can understand, that it's right in front of us because it feels tangible, feels real, but that can't help. I'm not nautical. Again, this might surprise you. I'm not like a seafaring man. I don't go out and, I mean, I've kayaked a couple times. I've been on a boat. I wasn't in charge of the boat, but I was on it. I've water skied. You guys ever water ski? A lot of work for not a lot of fun. All day I'm dealing with, like, you know, my my swimming trunks getting knocked off, and I got to lace them up tighter, and falling down, and being embarrassed, and the people on the boat all like, because I can't get up after the 35th time. They're like, oh my God. You can hear them on the boat. You're like, geez, look, this guy. And then they yell instructions like, just stand up. Whoa. I thought I was supposed to flip upside down. I thought we were snorkeling. I didn't know. And then finally I get it. And they're like, yay! And you're like, you're holding on. You're like, this is just standing up. I mean, I've been doing this all my life. This is not a big deal. Like, oh, I'm standing up. Not a lot of fun. So I've done that. I've been on boats. And I know this. I don't know a lot, but I know this. Anchors work best when you can't see them. If I can see the anchor, it's not working. It's not living up to its full potential. If I can see the anchor, it's doing nothing. But if an anchor is going to really do what an anchor does, you shouldn't be able to see it. Let me read this to you. This is Romans. It's the only other verse I've got today. Romans 8, 24 and 25. This speaks to hope. In hope, we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. The word hope here, hope gets a bad rap. Hope is a word that just has been watered down and misinterpreted and miscommunicated, misused. But I think a lot of times people think hope is getting don't get your hopes up. It's wishful thinking. I hope they don't get rid of pumpkin spice before January. I hope I get the raise. I hope I get an A. I hope whatever. It's just kind of you crossing your fingers and wishful thinking. That's hope's gotten slotted that way. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and they said, you know, we don't want to get our hopes up, but. And I'm like, why not? Romans 5 says that hope doesn't disappoint. That means there's no disappointment in it. The original word, if we go back to the Greek, the word for hope is elpis, E-L-P-I-S, elpis. And it has a very specific definition. It means a confident expectation of good. A confident expectation of good. I know. So hope is less wishful thinking and more, I know. I can't see it. I can't tell you why I know. I can't explain it. But I know. That's what hope is. A confident expectation of good. That's the anchor that the author of Hebrews and Paul here in Romans talks about. This hope. This confident expectation of good. This is the characteristic and the identity, the personification. This is Jesus, who is our anchor, who is unmoving, who's unchanging, who's not a variable, who's not going to leave you, he's not going to forsake you, he's not going to walk away from you, he's never going to be less close to you, he's always with you. But you can't see him. You can't hold Jesus accountable. You can't strong arm Jesus. He's not subject to our manipulation. We try to make these deals like, God, if you just get me through this, I'll never do that again. He doesn't care about your deal making. He's not Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. He's not Wayne Brady. Okay, all right. Know your audience, Chris. The show Let's Make a Deal. Okay, all right, moving along. We have this hope. He gives hope. He gives the answer. He gives stability because he loves you, not because you deserve it. Not because you've earned it or secured it. You don't need to secure for yourself an anchor. You don't have to handcraft it. You don't have to make it. In fact, this is what the author of Hebrews says. This hope that we have is an anchor. You already have it. This hope that you have. Not that you need to go find. Not that you have to create. Not that you need to even wish for or ask for. It's what you already have. This hope that you have is an anchor of the soul. We have this hope, which is to say, we have this Savior who is unmoving, who is unshifting, who is unchanging. He's not a moving target. The way he feels about you is not a variable. It's fixed. At no point, regardless of how our feelings may feel, our thoughts may feel, we're not on the outs with God. You're not on the outs with God. But Chris, I have not been as faithful, as obedient as I should be. Yeah, that's why Jesus came and took our place. No kidding. But I've not been as dedicated to my prayer life. I've not been as dedicated to reading Scripture. I've not spent as much time with God as I would like to. Join the club. That's what church is. Church is a gathering of misfits who all miss it. If we treat church like a country club of elite people, that's exactly what Jesus railed against. He said, nope, that's not it. This is a place, we're not a place of people who have got it together. We're a place of people who have coming to grips with the fact that we can't do it. We can't get it together. People might think church is a gathering of good people. No, it's a gathering of people coping with the reality that they can't be good. We can't do enough. We can't be enough. We can't accomplish enough. We can't get there from here. Thank God for Jesus. I love the Apostle Paul's statement in the book of Romans where he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And then he goes on in desperation to say, who can possibly save me from this body of sin and death? And he says, thank God for Jesus. And then he starts the next chapter, chapter 8. He starts with this statement. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ. Zero. You didn't have to earn your way there. That is a gift of God's grace. We have this anchor. We have this hope. We have this steadiness, this stability, this consistency that our souls can be tethered to all of our days. This is where we find confidence. This is where we find our identity. This is where we find peace and joy and faith and security. If you try to tether your soul to your circumstances, you're going to feel unsteady and you're going to get thrown around because it moves. Some of us are facing some things that are overwhelming. Our circumstances are big. They're big storms. They're big waves. And they're overwhelming. And we're looking for people and things and stuff and answers. And we're looking for anything that we can hold on to with our hands to bring stability to our soul. And this anchor cuts through the choppy waters and it buries itself, it embeds itself in the substance and the unshakability of the reality of what Christ has done for us. That's what our souls need. I'm going to close with this. There's this old hymn that I was thinking about this week, reading these verses and writing this message. I kept coming back to these familiar words. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We have this hope. We have this constant. And yes, life may not look the way we want it to look. That doesn't make the significance of who Jesus is and what he's done for us any less real. In fact, all the more reason. We need this hope. We need something to hold on to. We had a great meeting at the second Wednesday last month, and I appreciate everybody for sharing. But we talked about, where do you feel God the most? Where do you connect with God the most? Where does God feel the most real and the closest? And some people said in worship, and some people said in praying, and it was beautiful. It was like all of it was right. And then a great friend, I won't call her out, but said, you know what? In suffering. In the tough stuff. And something, you know, inside of me was like, yes. Now, I don't like saying that out loud. I don't think any of us do. But that's exactly where God meets us. Yes, he's there through the good. But he seems to be even closer in the bad. A broken heart, a contrite spirit, he's yet to deny. He won't deny it. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's right there. So when the storms and the winds and the wave happen, that's when we're like, ah, my soul has an anchor. I have stability. I have a constant that's not moving. A confident expectation of good. You're going to work all these things out for me.